The more I read the ticket text, the more I don't want to read the ticket text. I feel like I'm being taken out of context.
Well, no, let's go back to what you said. And if we had more time, I would have Greg pull the audio. But you said you would not leave a note. If you hit, even if you broke someone's taillight, you're not leaving a note. You did this to yourself.
Yeah, you put me on the spot. And that's what we do. I'm not mad at you.
No.
I'm not mad at you.
I put you on a spot.
And I do feel like tailgate's probably right there on the line. Where, how much is a busted taillight?
Again, you're talking a few hundred bucks. But because it's the maintenance of the work to take it off. It's usually the time more than it is the actual parts. Because you can't just take off. Have you ever tried to probably not asking the right person. Have you ever tried to replace a headlight?
I have not, John.
Okay. It's just very involved.
It's a hassle.
It's very involved now. It's not like old school where it's on and off in 20 or 30 minutes. This is an entire process.
The original conversation was about someone who left something that you could buff out on your car. We've talked about door dings. In that world, I'm not leaving a note. We're not doing this like...
Okay.
And if that makes me a bad person, I'll own that. This has come in. Some speculation, a note. Who would leave a note at the station? And everybody's broken into categories of would leave a note, would not leave a note, and people who were unsure of.
Oh, wow. This is a very detailed.
This comes from behind the glass or parts unknown. Anyway, here's how we go through this. People who would leave a note on the station. John Jansen, number
one. Of course, yes.
Number two, Doug Karsh.
Oh, yeah.
He'd probably leave his helmet as the sign that it was me.
And always treat others with respect. Greg, behind the glass, would leave a note.
Uh-huh.
Gov, behind the glass, would leave a note.
Even in this situation. And then I would
hope... With a door ding, you would, too.
Yes. And I would hope that they would respect the fact... Or everybody would just be like, okay, this is no big deal. Let's move on.
Yeah.
It's just being accountable.
See, if somebody left a note for the door dings I have in my car, I would be calling them up and saying, okay, you can pay for this.
Saying this, I realize most of society would not leave a note in that situation.
Right.
There's only one more member of the station who is listed as definitely would leave a note, and it's David Hull, man of the cloth.
Yes, okay. I mean...
Yes. Lightning would strike.
Yes. David, what are you doing? He starts to tries to walk away.
It's the voices.
Those who would not leave a note. Valeni. Rico. Kenny Cott, Jeff Rieger,
oh yeah,
Brian Chapman, and Jim Costa. People who we are unsure of.
Okay.
Wojo, what's your gut?
Well, I don't know. How's it look?
Throw Wojo in the knot. Caputo.
I don't know. You think I should leave a note?
I don't know enough about Pat, but he claims to be the most... unbiased journalist in the history of mankind, so that would lend me to believe that he would leave a note.
Well, you know, I probably should leave a note on this one.
Okay.
Gator.
I don't know a gator. I mean, part of me thinks he's a do the right guy stand up, you know, thing, but I think he'd be too lazy to get out of the car.
Oh.
That's nothing compared to what the afternoon show does.
He's not on his way into work yet, so he didn't hear
it.
It's all good.
He's not even awake yet.
And the latter, he's watching Buddy Kennedy tape.
Him and Caputo. And the last name is the new guy, Mark Ryan. I don't know if we know enough about him.
Yeah. Yeah. TBD.
Where do I fall?
I didn't know. Yeah. I honestly...
You just left my name off the list.
No, I didn't. I meant to put it in...
Because I think... Now listening to everything, like at first I was like, because I've never been in this situation. I've never hit somebody's car where I would need to write a note. But I do think I would want to find that person. Like I might wait around or go in and see if I could find who owns that car. And then I think I would, but maybe I wouldn't. I have no idea.
The thing with the innocent ding is like Heather, like I would still just try to be accountable.
Yeah.
But the problem with society today is that opens it up to, okay, you leave a note. I mean, who's to say somebody wouldn't do more damage and say, hey, look what this person did.
Right.
I mean, we're in such a weasel society. No,
you have to take pictures.
Yes, this is what happened. Right. And, you know, hey, you leave a note. I took some pictures. And let me know if you would like me to, you know, figure out a way to get this fixed.
Don't forget, everybody, there are cameras virtually everywhere at
this
point.
And
they could be watching Jim walk away from, you know, that tail lighty, just crack.
Yeah. But here's the thing, too.
I'm going to go for it.
If I were to walk to the front of my truck and there underneath one of the wipers was a note, instantly I de-escalate the situation because somebody is willing to take responsibility. And I looked at it. I went back and looked some more. I'm like, it didn't look like it did anything else to the bumper other than a nice long black mark, which I could take care of myself. I would have called them to put their mind at ease too. Like, you know, I don't want them wondering when the phone is going to ring. Is somebody going to be upset? Hey, I really appreciate you leaving the note, or shoot them a text. I'm sure it's going to be their cell phone. Shoot them a text that says, hey, thanks for leaving the note. It's not that big a deal. I'll take care of it.
Only name I left off was Stoney. I forgot.
Oh.
How would he handle it? Stoney wouldn't even know he hit him.
That's so true.
What was that bump in the road? So Cindy, what did you do?
Yeah.
Some texts, some phone calls. Someone says Mike definitely would leave a note. Whoever made that list knows nothing about Mike, signed Matt. So people are defending Valeni on the ticket text.
Okay.
Someone sums this up interesting. They say, while Cookie's viewpoint of not leaving a note is crazy, John being upset that no note was left for something as little as a scuff is pretentious AF. Get over yourself.
So the scuff was not, which is not just a small scuff. It went from the middle of my bumper, from where the license plate starts all the way to the very end, which I don't know how that it would even be possible. I mean, these things all are weird how they end up happening, but it was very noticeable.
Who has pen and paper to leave a note, reads a ticket text.
Okay,
very
so,
true. You're looking
really?
At me. Yeah.
You don't Who? Have
no, because
the,
now,
in your per- the mom purse?
No, because
doesn't
I don't have,
it? Have
a mom purse
you
anymore.
You have a crayon?
I switched to those little like crossbody belt purse. So I literally only have room for like a lip gloss and my wallet. That's all that's in my car keys.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all that fits.
Really?
I mean, if I'm coming from work, yes, yeah. I have my work bag and I have paper and a pen. But if I don't.
You don't have a pen somewhere in your car and a scrap piece of paper?
It'd be harder for me to find paper than it would a pen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Texter says Heather herself wouldn't leave the note. She would browbeat Colin until he admitted to it and left the note for her.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Yes, too many people know me.
Oh. I'm not taking the fall for this. That's incredible. Dwayne in Chesterfield. She's reeling. What's up? Good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, bud?
So I got a pro-level tip. What you do is you write a note, but you don't leave any of the correct information.
Oh, come on, man.
Like you're doing the right thing, but you just, you know, give them the wrong info. So
you're worse than Costa.
No one else is, like, giving you up to the law.
That's worse than not even leaving a note in the first place.
Yeah, why bother at that point? Just leave a blank piece of paper.
He thinks he's funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike and Livonia, what's up? You're on 97.1. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Nothing much. Listen, so, Jim, man, you got to leave a note, especially if you've done some damage to the car. I mean, regardless of how big it is. I'll be honest with you. Like, I take care of my car really, really well. And so if somebody stops it, whatever, I'm going to be pissed. And so if somebody, you know, if somebody steps up and owns up to it, okay, no problem. I'll feel a lot better about it. But if you know, I've had so many things happen in my car. I'm like, how is this fair to me, though? I didn't do anything. I just parked here. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. And you work hard to pay for it, and you work hard to maintain it.
100%. I put tons of hours, you know, into the detailing and all this and that. And so for you to scuff my car, to me, it's as bad as hitting my car. So, but I get it. Listen, I get it because, like, I've hit somebody before. And I gave them my information, and then they wanted to go to the dealership. And I'm like, this is something I could take care of for, you know, $1,000. Why do you want to turn this into, like, a $5,000-$6,000 ordeal? And so then it turns into this whole, like, can you trust people? But you still got to do the right thing at the end of the day, regardless, man. Because karma, Jim, goes around, comes around, buddy.
Well,
you and Heather, I mean, you know, I'm just saying.
Well, I get careful. It. I get it.
I would like to walk back the taillight comment. I think upon discussion, that's enough damage that, especially if you knock out the taillight, not a scuff of the taillight, but actually crack the taillight, that's enough damage. You crack a mirror. You crack part of the car. Fine. But I will be judged forever for this. If I open my door and it hits somebody's car and it leaves the smallest of dings, I'm not sitting there writing down my info and hashing this out with them. It happens. That's minor.
You've just been costed. I'm going to roll with that one. I can appreciate the fact that you've thought about this a little bit more and you have decided to make the right decision. The problem is these things happen in the moment. And now you're 20 miles down the road and you're thinking, I should have left a note.
And then the guilt.
Yeah, you're not going back, are you?
And it consumes you.
Boom!
Basically what Mike told me. 248-539-9797. We've got some more response we want to get to. We're going to talk draft, the plans. Have you made them? You need to make them. This is a must attend for the city of Detroit. Are we ready as a city? Coming up next, a quick update on Michigan's spring game. A question for John. It's 97.1.
Hey, Jim, write this number down because you might need it at some point. In an instant. An auto accident can put you in the worst financial position of your life, especially if someone hits you. It is a must to hire the right lawyer who will make sure that the insurance companies pay what they owe you. Injury attorney David Femininio and his team have been making insurance companies pay for almost 30 years, and he can help you with your injury case as well. David is ready to speak with you personally right now. If you call 855-65-CRASH or go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That's 855-65-CRASH or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Dan Dickerson, Obscure Tigers, 902. We'll get into the Tigers. Took 2 or 3 over the weekend. Spencer Torkelson, I'd like to present him a label, and it's not bust. We're not doing heavy-handed stuff.
No.
But I do want to talk Torque at 902. Some calls we got to get to. John's truck was hit in a parking lot. Mm-hmm. Not serious damage, but enough for you to put some work to buff it out.
Yeah. And I would not have asked anybody to step up at that point. Just would have been nice. I would have called and said, hey, thank you.
But no one
not being Jim Costa.
But no one left a note. And we got into the when do you leave a note? And I said for a door ding, for a little scuff here or there. People are very, very defensive of their cars. Heather, you brought up the point we were off the air.
Motor City.
Well, of course.
Not sure if you knew that.
We're going to talk more about that with the draft and if people are ready for it.
Your dad is an auto mechanic.
I know. He worked on cars his whole life.
It just hit me. I'm like, wow. Huh. Interesting.
I feel like there's more you want to say. Heather, you brought up the point. What if it's a really nice car?
I wonder if people have thought about that. Like if you're in a parking lot and you rear end somebody or you sideswipe them or whatever, whatever it is, you bust the taillight and then you get out and you realize, oh, wow, this is a
Ferrari, Aston Martin,
whatever. Yeah. Name the really expensive car. Do you have second thoughts about writing a note? Like, do people are like, oh, this is going to cost way more because this is a super expensive car. I'm just going to quietly get back in and drive away.
And even if people don't have a super expensive car, you don't know the other person you're dealing with. They're like, well, I'm taking it to the fancy body shop. It's a specific color of green. Well, it's going to cost 5 times what it should cost. And there you're on the hook for, again, if it's something big, you're responsible. If it's something small,
it's
I guess it's eye in the beholder.
Right?
Exactly.
If you hit somebody's car or damage it, it's up to that person to decide where they want to get it fixed, right?
Yeah, but here's what you do. And this is what I do. It drives the kids nuts because they're like, Dad, there's a parking spot right there. If I see a fancy car, one that's very identifiable,
I'm
going nowhere near it. I'm
Stay
not going to park.
Far away. And so
I'm going to park, where there's nobody around me. And I had this experience, obviously, being with a professional football team, there are some fancy cars in the parking lot. And I would park in the very last spot of the park or of the parking lot at Redskin Park because I didn't mind the walk. It was parking between a Bentley and a Ferrari. And I'm like, I don't need this stress. And besides my truck looks a little bit out of place. So I would park in the way back of the parking lot. Yeah. Plus less eyeballs back there.
I just thought of a situation talking about expensive cars. I used to work valet.
Oh yeah.
And I used to drive some pretty fancy cars. And there was one time This was not a super fancy car, but it was an old,
like more of a classic?
Yeah, a really big car. And you always reverse into the spot, right? It's just, it's easier. Sure. It's what you do. And there was a pole right behind the spot. And this car was like a boat. And I hit the pole, instantly got out, dripping in sweat. Because I'm like, oh my God, what did I just do? No damage at all. But I did go back. Obviously, I know who owns the car. I took their keys. Found them, and I let them know what happened, and we looked at it, and they're like, okay, nothing's wrong. I'm like, okay.
But thank you for letting us know.
Oh, well, you kind of have to as a valet, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you should in general, but...
Not if you're Jim Costa.
We got some calls I want to get to, and if it means we push back a little Michigan football, so be it. Dean in Milford. Dean, I'm sure you're going to yell at me. Go ahead, Mean Dean.
Oh, it's definitely coming because I used to have respect for you and I've lost quite a bit because what a D-bag thing to do to cause damage to someone else's vehicle and not feel the need to let them know you did it. Why should anyone ever be out anything, whether it's damage to their property or money, because you didn't do the right thing? Where's the self, like, where's your responsibility, your self-awareness? You're just wanting to do the right thing. How is it that you don't want to do that? And if anyone else is listening and they're going, well, I wouldn't do it either, then you're a scumbag too. Like, I just don't understand why you wouldn't take responsibility for that. Why wouldn't you? No matter how small you think the damage is. Because there's also taillights that could cost $7 to $1,000 or more. So how do you get to dictate how small damage is?
Well, I mean, He thinks he knows.
Oh, sure he might be.
Dean, thank you.
Dean,
I agree.
I scoop back. I let you say your piece. I know that's what I was going to get from Dean. Uh-huh. But we got some pushback. Lisa in Ann Arbor, you're on 97.1.
Yeah, my issue is with these people who don't know how to park their cars in parking lots. They hug the lines, and then when you get a door ding, they'll probably get pissed off because they're parked so close to the yellow lines. What do they expect?
Yeah.
It's their fault.
I mean, I take care of my car, and I can't park close to where I'm going because people hug the lines when they go and park.
I agree. There are a lot of bad parkers. There are also a lot of parking lots where it doesn't feel like there's even enough room between the lines for you to park.
And then people drive in with their big trucks, and they just, you know, they take up all the space.
No. Get out the way.
Mike Farmington Hills, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning. Long time, first time.
What's up, bud?
So I was parked on the street, behind a house doing some work, and my car got hit by a driver who was, driving down the street and trying to make room for another car. So the police call me, tell me a car's been in an accident, and I'm not driving it, so I walk out front. And thank God she called the police. She got a ticket. And when I talked to my insurance company, because she's just like, well, it's no fault. Everyone pays for their own damage. And I'm thinking, I have a 20-year-old car, but I wax it 3 times a year. It looks great. There's no scratches, no dings on it. So when I call my insurance, when I tell them that I wasn't in my car at the time of the accident, the other person's insurance will pay to get all the work done. So it's, I guess there's not two people in each car. It's not considered an accident. The one driver's committed property damage to the other vehicle. So I'm on my way right now to get it estimated to get fixed. But thank God that she had stopped and called the police. And she actually received a ticket for hitting my parked car. So, good for the people that stop and take responsibility because I'm poor and I went ahead the money to get it fixed. And I'm going to have to drive around with scratches and dents. So thank God for her.
Yep. It's a hard call to make, I'm sure, for her. Yeah, but she did the right thing.
Art in Clarkston, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, Art. Art, you there?
Art's in his own world. Tom in Bloomfield, you're on 97.1.
How you doing, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
I was at a restaurant, Giovanni's in Detroit, and this valet guy hit my car while I was in the restaurant. So I was same as the other guy. Wasn't in the car. The valet kid was assuring me, we're going to take care of it. I got a hold of the owner. Owner tells me we're going to take care of it. This happened in February. Since then, have not got a hold of the owner. I'm not going to put him on blast right now, but I'm just struggling. I'm still figuring out what to do. Brand new 2023 Tesla.
Mm.
I'm sure it's. Have you gotten it estimated?
I've gotten it estimated, but I'm going to call my insurance company to go after that valet company who I don't know if he has insurance on his valet company or not because he's dodging me. And from any number I call, he's not answering. So I don't know what's going on here.
That's a tough one. Well, I would imagine if he's able to operate business, he's going to have some sort of insurance.
Say, yeah.
Absolutely.
They know where they are, so yeah. Hey. What are you laughing at? What's so funny to you?
Sometimes you make it too easy for our callers, our ticket texters. For me, what's the right thing to do? And you've come around, and I appreciate the fact that you've come around. If you were to do material damage, other than a ding, car.
Real damage.
I'll just remember, I will never park next to Jim Costa. Or any, I tell you what, just so I identify, I'm never going to park next to anybody that has a car flag.
Ticket texter.
It might be Costa or like-minded individual.
I've never been more sure that Costa needs Jesus, Ben in Kalamazoo.
Jesus is on you.
Valeni would leave a note, and then he would tell them for 4 hours how they shouldn't have been parked there in the first place. If you leave a note in today's society, you'll find yourself in a slip and fall case over a ding in the door. Wait, Cookie's dad's an auto mechanic and he still claims him as his son? I'm kidding, Dave at work. The roast of Costa continues. We will touch on Michigan football. My question for you after the spring game, we'll talk about the draft coming up in Detroit, some Tiger baseball. Lots still to do, guys. It's 97.1. Couple texts, one directed at you, one directed at me, and then the question about Michigan's football team following the spring game.
Okay.
Me or you, who goes first?
You go. You're serving. You go first.
John, that was an EV stab at Cookie's dad, letting him purchase that kind of vehicle. Dave, work. Mm-hmm. Well, a couple points. My dad doesn't let me purchase a vehicle. I'm a grown adult. But he has given me plenty of flack for it, as you can imagine.
I need to meet your dad. I really, really need to meet your dad.
I go, Dad, I'm not trying to save the planet. It's just convenient for me.
As I learn more about your family, as the rest of Metro Detroit learns about your family.
Yeah.
What type of pets did you have growing up?
No pets.
No pets. Okay.
No pets. My dad, dog growing up, but we didn't have any dogs in our house growing up. Dad was a mechanic. Mom was a middle school teacher.
Okay.
Humble beginnings.
Where did the love for the kitten come from?
My wife is the one that wanted it, but the cat actually likes me more, and it runs. It greets me at the door like a dog. It's actually kind of cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Anyway,
that's good for you.
The text about you, BBT. What are you, 12 years old? Your truck. You refer to it as BBT.
That was one that was. It was anointed by Tom Milliken.
Tom's 12, but Tom, you find it funny because you were also a teenager. At heart.
Well, a teenager at heart. I mean, you'd be giving me a lot of credit there. I'm much younger than that.
All right, Michigan football. Why don't they have a quarterback? I know this is a really dumb question, but every other preseason top 10 and top 15 team either has like a stud recruit or they've hit the portal or they have a returning guy. Why is Michigan the anomaly?
Well, they had one graduate, or not graduate, but leave early for the NFL.
Yeah,
so
but
if
you replace them. That's
right. Yeah, and okay, so we're replacing him.
Okay. With an unknown right now, more so than any other, quote, playoff
contender.
This
is what happens when you have a starter for 2 years. You have an unknown who is going to be next. And Alex Orji, we saw him a little bit, just like we saw with JJ when Cade McNamara was the starter. Now, a little bit different skill set, and that's kind of what this quarterback room is built on, is everybody has a little bit of a different skill set. Davis Warren, we saw him. We've seen him perform well in spring games for the last 3 years, but he's looked good in practice. He looked good in the game. And you've got Jaden Denegal. Jaden Davis is a guy that everybody was really excited to see, and he played well. So I think it's going to be Alex Orji, and it's going to be one of those where they probably won't name the starter up until, I don't know, who knows, maybe 2 weeks into training camp just to keep that competition going, because it's really nobody else's business other than Sherrone Moore and the offense and the team. So I'm not concerned. I am concerned that there's going to be, 16, 17, 18 guys that are drafted this week going to be playing on Sundays, that will no longer be on Michigan's roster. So there's a depth issue, but there's it creates opportunity for the guys that are next.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly a take a step back here. Your coach gone, 18 guys to the NFL, schedule gets tougher. The books have it set about 9.5, and the under is almost minus 200. So right. the 9 wins is kind of the expectation by the books and with some regression for the program. I bring it up because, like, you know, Georgia returns a quarterback. That's obvious. They're way too early, number one. Same with Texas and Quinn Ewers.
Their starter is back.
But with Oregon, they lose Bo Nix. Right. They go get Dillon Gabriel. They use the portal right back at it. So, like, that's the only thing. Ohio State, we can say what you want about their quarterback room. They use the portal. They bring someone in. I'm not telling you they're going to be good. I'm saying there was a real, hey, let's go get a guy at that critical position.
Well, so, again, we're talking semantics here, and it's they went out and get a guy because they didn't recruit a guy.
Yeah.
And Alex Orji, I don't know if he's going to be that guy. I don't know that. I can't tell you that. But they don't have a proven starter. That's correct. But they could also have the next guy on the roster that will be able to do special things for him.
Notre Dame, preseason, way too early, top 10. They went out to the portal and got a quarterback to replace Sam Hartman. I mean, the jury's out on whether Riley Leonard's going to be better than Alex Orji, but
right.
my point is, it's not like Orji's running away with this, right? I mean, you at the spring game, what was your takeaway? I mean, he runs, he's a runner.
Yeah, I'm not going to go down that road, but you know, he clearly was, in my opinion, the best of the bunch. Now, the one we didn't see, Jack Tuttle, he was a starter at times down at Indiana, and he was behind Michael Penix, who's going to be going in this draft. And last year, he was behind J.J. McCarthy, who's going to be going in this draft. And he's clearly not an NFL talent, but he is in his seventh year, has really good experience, and maybe he is the guy. He didn't play yesterday because he was unavailable.
That's my only point.
Or Saturday.
It's more of a question. Doesn't mean you can't answer the question, but most of these others, even in the Big Ten. I know it was an easy thing for MSU. Of course, coach gets his old quarterback, but there's teams all over the Big Ten. I mentioned Ohio State, mentioned Oregon. Washington even went out and got a quarterback to try to pick up.
The way that you're making it sound like if you don't go get a quarterback in the transfer portal, you have no quarterback, they may already have it on the roster.
Do you feel confident in that? I don't.
I do feel confident that they have a starter on the roster.
That they have a body who will play quarterback. Very good, John. Yes, but I'm saying, do you feel like they have a guy who can be a difference maker in a close game right now?
I do.
Okay.
And I think Orji can be that guy. I think it's going to take some time for Jaden Davis, and he's going to need some time. I think he has some unique talent. I wanted to see, and I said this during the broadcast, I wanted to see them air it out a little bit more. And so that's, but I've wanted to see them air it out for the past 3 years.
Probably not going to change. Right, spoiler, they're going to play defense. They're going to run the ball. Maybe the QB run is even more pronounced because of Orji.
The bigger concern I have is constructing that offensive line. All 5 starters and a couple of backups will be, you know, playing on Sundays, and now you've got guys that they did go and get Josh Breeb in the portal as a guard from Northwestern. Giovanni Ohadi has had some experience. Greg Crippen, the center, has been waiting his turn and been very patient, and he has developed into a good player. So I think they're going to be good on the interior. The question I have is going to be, what are they going to do at the tackle position?
And that's been the identity. It's what's beaten Ohio State, really, at the focal point's been the point of attack, winning up front on the offensive line. We're going to talk about the NFL draft. I mentioned Michigan's going to have 18 guys who could be selected in this upcoming week. The NFL draft is here in Detroit. You guys know that's not a big surprise, but I think there's going to be an adjustment for us in, as we've talked about, the Motor City. Everybody loves their cars. A lot of how you're going to get to the draft is a shuttle, a bus, a queue line, a people mover. Are we ready for the public transit, the bunching up of people, the massive humanity that is the NFL draft, and have you made your plans? We'll get to that coming up at 8:50. First, Heather with the news.
Well, community members have been stopping by the Swan Boat Club, paying their respects to the victims of that deadly crash. On Saturday afternoon, a suspected drunk driver drove through the club in Monroe, where a child's birthday party was taking place. 2 siblings, an 8-year-old girl and a 5-year-old boy, were killed. In total, there were actually 15 victims. 9 of them, which included 3 children and 6 adults, were taken to hospitals in serious or life-threatening condition. It's so, so sad. The 2 children were students of the Flat Rock Community School District. They have already sent a note home to parents just talking about their heartbreak and the fact that there would be grief counselors, social workers on hand for any students who might need that. The whole story is just absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah.
When you start putting together the video that you can see of this woman, 66-year-old woman who was reportedly at a bar before this took place at a nearby bar, just flying down this small dirt gravelly road towards the parking lot into that building. She went 25 feet inside this building.
See the video.
It's horrific.
Of her zooming past these houses. And leaving the dust cloud as she goes past. I mean, you could tell she's traveling at a high rate of speed, and then you actually get a chance. The impact happens off camera, but the cloud of debris and dust, you could see that. It's terrible.
Well, and we've seen stories, and you've had stories in your news, where people run into a storefront, and the car is right there. 25 feet
into the building.
Yeah. I mean, you get an idea of just how reckless it was.
Well, when you see the video, too, and when you hear that, initially, I had not seen that video caught by like a Ring doorbell.
Yeah.
I could have only imagined how fast she was going. And then when you see it, you know that's how fast she was going. Well, as hundreds of thousands of people descend on Detroit for the NFL draft, Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel is reminding consumers to be aware of potential price gouging tied to the event. Hopefully, you're not going to get hit with that. But in a news release on Friday, Nessel informed visitors and reminded residents that Michigan law prohibits retailers from charging prices that are grossly in excess of what others are charging for the same thing. Now, she did note that a general rise in price does not automatically equal price gouging, because a lot of hotels, parking structures are going to be adjusting their rates for higher demand. So obviously this is a big event, so prices are going to be more, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's price gouging. So just be aware. Don't get taken advantage of. Don't fall for schemes and scams. Yeah. And also be aware of where you're going to go, where you're going to park, or hopefully park before you get down there. That was one of the things she also said, was plan ahead. Know what you're going to do, where you're going to go. Check how much things cost before you get there, so you're not completely blown away by
the one that always gets me is if you're going somewhere for a 2-day event and they say it's a 3-night minimum, that one drives me nuts. Yeah. But that, fortunately for everybody traveling, if there is a 3-night minimum, it happens to be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So you could spend those 3 nights.
Yep. You guys, Lake Orion is mourning the loss of a student who died on a robotics team trip in Houston. There's not a lot of detail, so I can't give you exactly what happened, but school officials with Lake Orion High School say that an 11th grade student was attending the Robotics World Championship when they passed away on April 19th. Lake Orion High School also has a crisis team of professionals available for those students who need it as well. Oh, gosh, listen to this. A Michigan grandmother was arrested after she allegedly helped her granddaughter beat up another student at an elementary school.
So I saw this. I didn't understand all the details. Was she actually a part of the fight, or she was just coaching?
Oh, she was there. She was not actually doing any of the punching. She was holding down the other student so that her granddaughter could do the fighting.
Wow.
It's an awful story. This is in Mount Morris. Police said that the grandmother and the granddaughter were dropped off at the elementary school last week for this behavioral meeting. And while they were there, the grandmother saw this other girl that didn't get along very well with her granddaughter. And they followed this young girl to the bathroom. And that's where the grandmother held the young girl down so that her granddaughter could punch her.
Jeez.
Horrendous. No other students were involved.
Thanks,
Nobody
Granny.
Else was injured, but she is behind bars, the Genesee County Jail.
Man.
Wow. What are we doing, people? It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, what's your game plan? NFL draft, must attend. How are we making it happen? It's 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to sit down with you, ask you questions, find out as much as they possibly can, and then build a financial plan that's going to fit your situation. They did it for me. And when you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, They're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate on a regular basis to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Dan Dickerson's call. Tigers take 2 of 3. Got a label for Torkelson. 9-18. Not bust. Nothing heavy-handed. Just a assessment, something I saw this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Texter says, starts with an innocent door ding without leaving a note. Leads to holding a kid down in a school bathroom so your grandkid can beat him up. Watch the road you're heading down, Cookies.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope.
Says, I kid, LOL. That's from Jay. Yep. All right, draft week. We're here. We made it, guys. It's Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday all day. Have a good time. To me, this is a must-attend event. The center of the NFL universe is in our backyard. Mm-hmm. It's free to attend. We get to showcase Detroit. And there's going to be big crowds. We're talking between the 3 days, expected as many as 400,000 people.
Yeah.
I bring it up because I don't know if we're quite ready for that. If you haven't made plans for how you're getting down there, maybe start looking into that, because I think we are ingrained to hop in the car, drive down, park, and go to the event. Roads are closed. They're telling people use shuttles. I haven't used the people mover since the Joe was around. Use the queue line. Well, it only goes so far,
right?
But people, we are not conditioned to public transit, mass transit. We maybe have to be more comfortable with that this upcoming week. So I want to know, is this a must attend for you? Have you made plans, and how do you navigate it? 248-539-9797.
I think it should be a must attend. If you're a sports fan, and this goes way beyond just football fans, the center of one of the four major professional sports is going to be in our backyard. There's going to be people coming from all over the country, all different 32 fan bases, but you know, we know people live all over the country, all over the world. They're going to be zeroing in on Detroit. And it's honestly, yeah, we're a part of showing off Detroit. All of that is on Mayor Duggan and his staff and everybody going on down there. I just want to be there to see and feel the experience of, there's no bigger event in sports this week than the NFL draft. And we have a chance to walk out of our door, drive to wherever you can hop on some public transportation or get your spot downtown and experience all that the NFL has to offer in the NFL draft.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the city has hosted a Super Bowl, but we're coming up on, what, 20 years since? I mean, these don't come around that often, and this is a three-day event, and this is going to be, it's almost like you take your pick. If you're a big junkie, you got Thursday night.
Yeah, but not everybody is welcome at the Super Bowl.
Right.
You've got to be, you either have to be really lucky, or you're going to have to shell out a ton of money. This is a free event. Or you just find a way downtown, and then you walk up to it.
And in that way, there's more people expected, you would think, than the Super Bowl. And what I was saying is there's something for everybody. Thursday night is like, hey, you got to be there. Friday night. And then I think Saturday is going to be where a lot of like families, kids, people, everybody's got the day off work. The event's like 7 hours on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I think Saturday, like, I'll be on live Thursday night with Doug and Valeni and Stoney, and we'll be on the air Thursday night. But I do want to go just as a fan on Saturday and take it all in, because this isn't going to happen. It's not like they're coming back in 10 years. We may not come back ever. That's just the reality of this. If they rotate this around, yeah, this might be your shot to see it.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously there's 31 other options in terms of hosting it locally, but who knows what the NFL will do. They're the best at printing money, and they can find different destinations to make this a fan experience. It would be hard-pressed to find that they would have it somewhere that was outside of a franchise city.
Right.
But who knows? Like, that's an imagination that I don't have, but this is an opportunity. Who knows? If it cycles around and it comes back here in 32 years?
Yeah. 25 to 30 years? Yeah. I mean,
the goal would be to see it, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. I'll be pushing up daisies by then.
Right. So, I mean, where is this on your radar? Like, is this something that you are making plans to go down and be a part of? And I think it should be. I'm not telling you how to live your life. I just think this is one of those things in our backyard. Like, You know, I saw people freak out about the eclipse. We were kind of in the path of totality, and people made their way. We are. This is the center. This is totality, John, right here at Campus Martius, going down the Hart Plaza, that stretch in downtown Detroit. That's the center of the football universe for 3 days, and you just got to make plans to go down. Like, you know, we got to figure out exactly how that's going to work. I mean, do you park in one of the garages? You know the rates are going to be up. You know certain roads are going to be closed. Or do you
if there's
need,
even a spot available.
Yeah, if there's even a spot available. Or is this one of those deals where we're going to have to go, wait, hold on. Where do I have to drive to then get on a bus? Where do I have to drive to then get on a shuttle? Where do I have to drive, take the people mover a couple stops, loop around, and find my way closer to?
Yeah, and they have, you know, you can, I forget, Heather, where it was that you could get to the information, because there are drop-off points at Great Lakes Crossing. Mm-hmm. I know that there's some in Ann Arbor. They're all around, so all you got to do is drive there, and then they'll bus you down, hop off, get back on to come back. But there's going to be some work involved in making it happen, but I think the payoff is going to be there.
I think the return, though, is going to be maybe the bigger headache, right? Everybody's going to want to leave around the same time. The Lions pick late in the night, so 29. People will stay As it stands now. But let's say they do pick at 29, and you know, people who go that aren't Lions fans are going to maybe want to stick around for the whole draft. They made the drive in. They've got a hotel. The number of people trying to leave after the 32nd pick, or right in that range, 29 to 32, everybody now, 100,000 people are going to leave the city in an orderly fashion. That's going to be... We're built to handle it, but I don't know if people are ready for it.
Well, I mean, just going to have to set your expectations and make sure that you're patient, because it's not going to be instantly you're back at your car and you're on the road home. It's not going to be like leaving a Tigers game or even leaving a Lions game. There's going to be some patience that will be tested. But if you get a chance to get down there, and I think everybody's going to go different days for different reasons. If you want to see... you know, all of the guys that the 13 players that are there walk across the stage, and Goodell, and you want to be there to boo and do all the things that, you know, NFL fans do on the first night of the draft. That's where you're going to see a lot of the stars. And then on Friday, second and third rounds, you're still going to see a lot of stars, but it's going to be, you know, it'll be tempered a little bit. And then on Friday, there's going to be a lot of guys drafted that nobody knows anything about,
right. But
it's going to be the experience, because it happens midday. You don't have to worry about trying to get home in the middle of the night and it being dark out. It's going to happen midday. So there's a little bit of something that the NFL has baked into this opportunity for everybody.
Ticket Texter, take an Uber, you moron. Okay. What do you think it's going to cost, surge pricing on an Uber? You want to play that game at midnight, 12 midnight on Thursday night? What do you think you're paying for an Uber?
Yeah, or
add a zero.
Yeah, where are the, you know, the pickups or drop offs and
that's the other thing. Everybody flocks to one. It's like the airport on steroids. Like everybody goes to that one place for the ride share, except instead of it being 20 people, it's like 20,000 people.
Yeah,
we're all getting in to pay $150 for the Uber down the road. I mean, that's. I don't think it's quite that easy.
Get your walking boots on and be willing to walk a little bit and get outside of the Campus Martius area, and I think you're going to have a better chance of picking up a ride share.
Let's get to Daniel in Grosse Pointe. Daniel, you're on 97.1.
Well, it's morning, guys. How you guys doing today?
Good. Excited about the draft.
Yeah, easy fix. Nemo's.
Okay.
Park at Nemo's. It's free parking. They offer a shuttle bus down, $5, takes you back and forth.
All right.
Easy enough. So you've already planned stuff out.
Oh, yeah. I'm taking my daughter to school. She starts at 8 o'clock. I live right down in Grosse Pointe. It's a 5-minute drive. I'm spending my morning in downtown, so I don't have to worry about the traffic before, at least, and then we'll see what happens after. But hopefully it's a good night, and I won't worry about that.
Yep.
And Friday night, yeah, it's nice. You don't have to worry about the next morning or anything like that. Yep. I think Friday night's going to be pretty popular.
Oh,
we got the update, John. We can't ask him 20
questions.
Cyan,
I was going to ask him who he wanted at 29.
Stupid radio rules. 97.1.